Last week, they finally announced that finally we have killed the Hummer brand. They don't make Hummer anymore. Because when push comes to shove, everybody wake up. So, but that is not fine. Let us accept the truth. You know what it means? Reality has set it. They check the pocket. Acute pocketitis is now occurring. So the guy is quickly saying, no. Hummer, no, because the thing is really not fine. What I mean is this. It is not functional. The beauty attached to it is based on hype. No, look, I know that every sports car is low. It has the same nose, whether it's Lamborghini, Ferrari, Lotus, whatever, Aston Martin, whatever it is. Once it's a sports car, it's low, the front is flat, it glides gently backwards because it has to cut through the air. That's godly meaning of the word beauty. Designed for what? Purpose, for function. So when David said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made, he said, I have been made exactly like it is necessary to fulfill my function in life. It has nothing to do with, I find Pastor Agbani Darego, who said so? People will sit down. In fact, people say, is it okay Christians to do beauty pageant? I don't know. All I know is that you must be crazy if you agree to walk half naked. And people like Mike Tyson are the ones deciding whether you are fine or you are not. A confused man is deciding whether you are fine or not, and you agree with him. You're the crazy forehead. You want to do fashion, what do you call it? Beauty contest. It's very good. You know what you should do? Just wait. When you don't marry, finish. Close the door, strip naked, and walk up and down in front of your husband. What do you think? Believe me, you will win every time. You will win every time. As by the confused people on the road, deciding for you whether you're fine or not. Now, please, I hope you're following the point I'm making. That is, when God is defining beauty, he has only one thing in mind. Can it fulfill the function for which I created it? Can it serve my purpose on the earth? You talk too much. You say, I can't help but talk. Very good. Say, God said, listen, check this part of brain that's meant for talking. Pastor Banky's own is bigger than usual. Are you getting my point? There are those you don't need to look, listen. They are parts of their brain is for talking is very small. They are not preachers. But preachers like me, we call it Broker Speech Center. There was a time I earned the name Broker amongst my friends. Now, it was not a stockbroker. It just meant Broker Speech Center. It's a part of the brain that we use for talking. Look, the man who can draw. One day, a man told me that he's an artist. He said that if he draws me on paper, I will look exactly like I look in a photograph. And that's true. That's what he does for a living. Now, listen, you can't learn that one in school. It is not totally impossible, but it's likely to take you about 75 years of intense work and hard labor. Have you ever tried to draw before? I tried when I was young. I don't try it anymore. I only compete with my little son about whether this shoe. You know, yesterday, my son was drawing a shoe. I said, let daddy draw shoe for you. When I finished drawing my own shoe, even me, I was confused. My son looked and said, daddy, how come this shoe is so long? I said, it's going to be worn by a tall person. That my explanation was not exactly the truth. The fact was I didn't know how to draw shoe. Doubt this form my inward parts. I've told you before, this is my personal testimony. Apart from a matter of spiritual discipline, I don't need notice before I preach. I'm not joking about that. Apart from the matter of spiritual discipline, I don't need notice before I preach. I don't. Pastor Bank, where's your note for today? As God is my witness, there's no piece of paper in this Bible. Not one. I didn't forget, though. I didn't need it. I normally carry my computer. All of you think that he has his notes there. He's now boju for all of you. The reason why I carry the computer is because I have about 12 translations on it, so I don't have to carry 12 Bibles. So anyone I want to read, and if I want to look for a scripture that I need to give the exact quote, and I have the fastest concordance on earth there, dual core processor. You follow my point? But as for preaching, my brother, it's in the blood. You hear what I said? It's where? It's in the blood. We don't pray about it. We were created to preach. That's the way it is. Now, it's God knowing that. Remember what I said before? From Psalm, that we read from that Psalm 40, where it said, my ear thou hast pierced, The way he said in the book of Hebrews, he said, a body that has prepared for me, that you made me in a particular way so that I can function effectively. That was what David meant when he said, I am fearfully and wonderfully made. He didn't mean that anytime I show up, I'm Mr. Africa or Miss World. No. No. It just simply means that whatever it is that the function that God created me to perform, to fulfill, what my purpose is, my body is perfectly suited. My inward parts. Are you getting my point? I saw a picture once, an advert. They were describing a girl who used to see patterns in the midst of chaos. That is, you see, all this rug on the floor. She will see it and see a bird inside it and draw a bird out of it. And it's there. You can't see it. You don't have to try. You don't need to pray for that gift. And that's where I'm going to. I magnify my office. The problem we have, like we said last time, is that people want to be like other people. I told you about the seminar I did. My call and my course. What's my calling in life? What gift do I have? Because I refer to Romans chapter 11 when it says that the gifts and callings of God are without repentance. And I use that one like a friend of mine did to explain that from your gifts, the abilities that you have, you can suspect, you can't say for sure, because your calling, you eventually discover it as you exercise your gift. Are you getting my point? Once in a while, I'll discuss that. God may speak to you clearly through dreams, through visions. My son, my daughter, go and do this. But most other times, you discover your calling. What you know usually is your gifts. And then you do this, you exercise your gifts. Along the lines, you discover your calling. I don't explain to people. So what gifts do you have? Everybody could act or sing. Why? Thanks to Genevieve. Thanks to Two-Face. Omotola Jolade Ekende. Iniedo. Who else is there? Nice. Because every time you tune the radio, you put on the TV, these people are before your face every day. So, you know, I told you that everybody wants satisfaction. You want acceptance. You want to be important. So you think they are important. So unconsciously, your body, your soul wants to be like them. Make all your mistakes when you are young, but please, don't be stubborn. Once you find out, say, you know, sabi do, find the one way you sabi do. Paul said, I do what? I magnify my office. I was reading that book again. You know that I told you about preachers the other day? I was reading it again today. Kenneth Hagin said, when everybody was going out organizing crusades, you know, big tent meetings, God spoke to him and said, you stay in the churches. Everybody was doing evangelism, big things. God said, you just teach. And that was before he stepped into the office of the prophet. And for 13 years, how long did I say? 13 years, people were shouting, they were in glory, glamour, big preachers, you know, those kind of funny things that newspapers do to you. What Pastor Banky now wears, that will be the cover of the Sunday edition of this day. And you think it's a sign of success. And you know that their magazine extract. You put a preacher in there and the guy go pulls. If anybody come meet me, say you want no waiting Pastor Banky one way, I go give him a knock for head. You should go and ask what Pastor Banky now preaches. No, so I said that so unconsciously we want to be like those who appear to be in glory. Are you getting my point? Now, but you see, Paul said we should what? Magnify our own offices. Discover that, and that's what I want to go into next, which is why we read that Romans chapter 12. You notice one thing he said, I want to demystify one expression there. Now, remember that Romans chapter 12? He said, for through the grace given to me, I say to every man among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, that's verse 3, but to think as to have sound judgment, as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. Now, let me explain the meaning of that word, measure of faith. Because when we read it sometimes, we don't understand. We think about it in a manner that's not very practical. Now, let me try and give us an idea of what he was saying. I was saying something earlier. That for me, when it comes to preaching, it's a matter of what? Confidence. It doesn't even worry me whether I will have something to say. I don't know whether you get what I'm saying. It doesn't worry me whether I'll have something to say. That is, I handle the preaching of God's word with confidence. There was a time, this was even many years ago, I traveled to go and preach. Then I had notes. I made some notes. Only for me to get to where I was going to preach, I discovered that I left my Bible and the notes inside back at home. So I mentioned to one brother, I said, do you know I left? Ah, he was alarmed. So what are we going to do? I said, nothing. Find me another Bible. What are we going to do? Nothing. Just get me another Bible. The thing is in here. It's not on paper. Do you follow my point? It's coming from inside here. It's not on that paper. So don't worry about it. And you know, it didn't cross my mind that I would not know what to say. That's what Paul meant when he said what? A measure of faith. People want to go and pray and pray and pray and discover their gifts. Let me explain something to you. When it says grace, grace means that God's power is manifested towards you so that certain things flow out of you freely. Do you get my point? And therefore, listen, therefore, out of experience and that faith that God has placed inside your heart, what you discover is that anytime it comes to doing that thing, you are kind of confident in what you're about to do. Do you know the first time I went on radio, that's for a live program, I asked all kinds of questions. What if I have to sneeze? I'm not joking. It was Juanita, that lady that used to be on Cosmo FM. I said, what if I have to sneeze? If I need to cough, unko, what do I do? That is, for me, I'm like, okay. But have you noticed that Juanita does not sneeze? It hasn't crossed your mind. Have you ever seen a live performance by one of these big stars and the person is coughing? No, please, think about it for a second. You hear that Whitney Houston reached stage. And I will always love you. It didn't say she's not a cough for house. She's a cough for. But that stage on, she no go cough. She will not sneeze. No, has it crossed your mind that she doesn't sneeze? And they've always been like that. It's not that they use medicine. They know they use anything. That is, you know what's going on? No, this is a matter of fact. Grace. Everybody say grace. Grace. Grace is there for them. That area, grace there. You know, sometimes I'm watching newscasters. They just, of course, they have a TV, they have what they call a prompter in front. But then the way they just talk. Do you get what I'm saying? That's what is called grace. The people, they do those things with confidence. That's what they call by. That's what we mean by measure of faith. Do you follow my point? That is, listen, you don't tackle. Listen, this is what Paul was saying there. That anything you cannot do confidently, don't even bother. I don't know whether you get what I'm going to explain. Once you can't do it confidently, don't bother. That's what he was saying. No, look at it very closely. That Romans chapter 12. He said, "For through the grace given to me," he said, "I say that to every man not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think soberly," King James says, "or so as to have sound judgment." How does he think? "As God has allotted to each a measure of faith." Why? Because just as we have many members in one body, all members do not have the same function, he said, so we who are many are one body in Christ and individually members one of another. Notice verse 6. And since we have gifts that differ according to the grace given. That's the point I'm making. Please, I hope you are getting what I'm trying to explain. That is, there are things the people do confidently. And he's saying this, that even within that one which you do confidently, do you get what I'm saying? There's a level of your confidence. And what is he saying? Don't try to pretend. The one you can't do, you can't do. I don't know whether you get my point. It doesn't mean you never will be able to do it. But until you are able to do it, don't bother. That's what he said. Until you get to the level where grace is so evident that with confidence you attack what you want to attack. Listen. And this is the point. Everybody has something like that in life. Everybody. Once my wife was trying to introduce one of her friends into a marketing business. This was many years ago. And the lady made a statement. Listen to this. And you see, you have to learn that people are different. Are you getting my point? People are what? Different. And that's what Paul was explaining. She said that I can't sell things. My wife said, why not? All you need to do, you know, my wife is a professional. I mean, it's in the blood. So she loves to do it. But this lady said, I can't. My wife said, why not? All you need to do, she gave me a small rundown. And the lady said, it hurts me when people refuse to buy. I don't know whether you're getting the point. That it hurts my feeling. I feel bad. And my wife couldn't get the point. Why? Why should they hurt you? You made somebody an offer and the person said, no, you know, no. The point is that she doesn't have that faith. Her measure of faith in that regard is near zero. She didn't need to try. It's not her calling. She doesn't have that gift. That's the point I'm making. What am I supposed to do in life? One thing I have explained earlier, which is what we want to use this one to cement properly, is that ministry is not only in church. People think that ministry is just you preach, and in case you don't preach, you sing. Do you follow my point? So, I mean, you're either the preacher or you are the people that lead the preacher into the presence of God. You come and sing praise and worship before they step up. That's ministry. Okay, if you are not doing that, at least be part of those cleaning the pulpits, arranging the flowers, making the backdrop, and that's ministry. Why? Because at least you are assisting the ministry of the word. I think I have preached enough for you to know that that is not so. That ministry is everywhere. That every child of God has a ministry. Everything that you do as a Christian is supposed to be done with the idea of ministry in mind. Are you getting my point? That is, a preacher is preaching and is in ministry. The doctor is seeing patients and it is ministry. The lawyer is in court arguing his case and is ministry. His drafting agreement is ministry. The salesman is doing his business, it is ministry. The scientist is inventing and is ministry. And the nursery school teacher is there chatting up 2-year-olds, 3-year-olds, and it is ministry. One is just as important as the other. Do you follow the point? One day, one of my wife's friends said she went to, she went to the clinic for immunization for her child. And there was a lady that was just behaving very badly. She was trying to give the impression that, look, I have things to do. All right? You can't waste my time. I can't join the queue. This, you know, that kind of thing. Trying to show that she's very important. What was it that she did? I can't remember for sure. Maybe she's a doctor or something, or she works in a big establishment. She just managed to rush from the office. You know, she was just going on anyway. In the course of this, she and this other lady started talking. This one just took it calmly. At the end of the day, she now asked the lady, what do you do? That one said, I'm a domestic engineer. You don't get the point. That is, I have a husband, I have a home, I have my children, one of which I brought to clinic today for immunization, and that is the work that I do. I magnify my office. The person that is talking, you know, if some other people, they'll say, actually, the person talking is a lawyer. That is, she's a barrister at law. But when she said, what do you do? She said, I'm a domestic engineer. I take care of my wife, my husband, my home, my children, and I'm proud of it. You can come here shouting that you have things to do, make it look like I don't have anything to do. Make it look like I'm here, I have time to waste, I'm jobless. You can sit there, make yourself look important while you try to tell me I'm not important, but I magnify my office. I take care of my home, my husband, my children with pride. They asked Pastor Robertson's wife, what is it that you have done in life that you are proud of? She thought for a second. She said, raising my 4 children. Today, I think I came down from upstairs, and my wife had been there for some time teaching my kids, especially the 2 middle ones, they are writing, counting and writing. After a while, when I came, I said, my husband, teaching these children, gosh, is a lot of work. And I took my hands and placed upon her. I said, you will be honored everywhere you go. Glory will shine upon you. In the name of Jesus, you will reap the fruit of your labor because it is work. I said, people will bless you because of these children. See, that's why I don't believe in paying money for expensive school for my little children. I don't believe in it. No, this is not, Pastor Bayo, you've been stingy. Not at all. I can dash somebody the money. But I won't pay. Why? Because I know who really teaches them. It's my wife. Am I giving you money to go and deceive you that you are doing too much work? No, I'm serious. My son Akinlu is a sharp guy. Sharp guy. Sharp guy. But I can tell you for sure. He goes to school. I love his teachers. He goes to a good school. But as far as I understand, my wife did most of the teaching. That's why I ain't going to pay anybody 100,000 naira a term for a 3-year-old that my wife does all the teaching. I won't pay. I will not pay. Ask
That's my wife. I told her clearly from the beginning. It's social gathering they are going for. They have to learn to relate with other children. Know when to box and when not to box. When to report and when not to report. Because raising kids, listen, my brother, my sister, is work. I won't commit the raising of my children to a housemaid that will teach them to speak pidgin instead of proper English. They teach them, say, "You are an idiot, you're a bastard. You talk that kind of for my house. The kind slap where I will take answer you. You go, he will report me for child abuse." I never called my child an idiot. Ask my wife. She doesn't come out of her mouth anyhow. If I, one day my daughter came, she was crying seriously. "Mommy, what's the problem?" He said, "Wait, can't tell me, shut up." That is, shut up is a big insult. That is, she was so agitated, she came to report. That, can you imagine? He told me to shut up. That's the worst insult they hear. That is, shut up there. What? Me, shut up. I mean, there have been times that I will see the girl cry. "Why are you crying?" "Benga beat me." "Benga, why did you beat me?" "Meme told me shut up." That is, shut up. How can you insult me? That's the worst insult they hear. Shut up. As per idiot, stupid, fool. A strange language. Strange in my house. They are strange. In fact, my son Akinlu, the worst you could do to him then was tell him, "You're not my friend again." Ha! One day my wife went to their school and the teacher said, "See wahala today." The Akinlu cried and cried and cried and cried. What was the problem? He said, "I told him, you're not my friend again." The boy said, "This is trouble. I'm no longer auntie's friend." That spoiled the whole day. That's the insult he's used to. There are children where your papa, your mama is normal. No go better for you. You will call your head like cocoyam. No, that generation has passed too, in Jesus' name. In your house, it has passed in Jesus' name. The one you heard when you were children is the last you'll ever hear in the name of Jesus Christ. One day, my wife looked and said, "These children can never," you know, people say that my father never hugged me. He said, "My children can't say that." That is, my wife will look in the morning. The first thing they get, "Oh, you're a beautiful girl. Oh, come on, come on, give daddy a hug. Kiss. I love you." When you tell Benga, "I love you, Benga." I say, "I love you, daddy." That's what he said. You think, say, I'm serious. They're used to it. Or this one of deprived, abused children. It ended generation before you. Did I hear an amen? Your children, they will be wondering. It's museum, they'll be seeing those things. That this child was abused. They will read it in books and they will not be able to relate with it. What am I going to explain? I magnify my office. The lady told the other one, "I'm a domestic engineer." The person talking has an LLB and a BL, a barrister at law. All she said is, "I'm a domestic engineer." What am I saying? I magnify my office. I was talking to your brother once. He actually wasn't talking to me. They said, "Where do you work now?" He said, "I don't have a job yet." He said, "But I'm teaching somewhere." Ah, you should know that you've just touched Pastor Banky on the wrong spot. You just ignited him wrongly. He wasn't talking to me. It was none of my business. But I couldn't let it pass. I turned around and said, "And you don't call," that is, the anger went in my face. The guy humbled instantly. I said, "And you don't call that a job." You see, that's why they would do it half-heartedly. Do you get my point? Because as far as you are concerned, it's not a job. I'm waiting for a real job. So I am teaching meanwhile. Who told you, in fact, listen, if you are listening to me and that's the reason why you are teaching, I beg in the name of Jesus, your Lord and mine also, resign, find another job. Carry pompon, something like that. At least I will believe you. You don't use the lives of children as an experiment to fulfill your idleness. "I don't have a job yet. I am just teaching, so this is not a job." What do you do now? "Oh, I thank God. I have the opportunity to bless the lives of 7 to 10 year olds where in this particular school, I'm the one teaching them this, this, and that." It's a ministry. Are you getting my point? That was what Paul meant when he said, "I magnify my office." My time is up, but next time I will develop this thing further. This issue of grace and faith.
There are things that come to you easily. Let me say it again. That when it comes to doing it, for you it's not difficult. It's not just about training. Training is good. You should fine-tune your gifts until you become skillful in them. But I'm saying there are things that come to you. You don't try. Everybody else struggles. But for you, it's not a matter of struggle. I can give myself as an example. Everything I do in life is teaching. As a medical doctor, I'm a specialist, all right? But what do I do with my specialty issue? I work in the teaching hospital as a consultant, though, but my main job is I teach medical students. As of today, I teach medical students in 3 universities. 3. Not joking about that. My full-time job is University of Nigeria Enugu campus. Go there. Monday morning, I'm in ESU teaching the same course. Go to Nnamdi Azikiwe University. I teach them also. Now, why did I become a teacher? It's simple. I found out that for me, it was not that I love to teach. That was not the main thing, actually, if I remember correctly. It was that I found out that I was able to teach. Everybody say ability. I discovered the ability. And how did I discover it? When I was in university, I started teaching the Word of God on campus, but the other one of teaching people medicine, I didn't do that. It was as a resident doctor, postgraduate doctor, that we used to do seminars. And anytime it's my turn to present, I noticed that it used to flow fluently. And I still remember one day I finished presenting the topic. One of my chiefs, then, who is now an associate professor in Luth, she passed a comment. She was the one supervising. She passed all her comments and got up. I remember her getting up and saying, "I must admit, you will make a very beautiful teacher." I heard that comment here and there from people that I did not even know were listening. One day, 2 women who were my seniors in this profession, they showed up and said, "Please, we went for this exam, we did not pass. And amongst the things that made us fail was this, this, and that. The next exam is coming up next month. I'm giving you the summary of the whole thing." They now said, "We need to learn it." And somebody said, "You are very good at explaining." So I said, "No problem." We fixed the time. I came to their lab, and I sat down there, and I still remember. I remember that they were searching them on the pathology of the kidney. So I will say some things about a particular kind of kidney disease and all of that. I'll say, "When you use the word this, this is what we mean." I'll break it down. And the 2 of them will laugh and fall on each other. He said, "What? You mean is this simple?" "We just failed it." Then we are gone. I will explain. Then they will burst into laughter too. I remember very well 2 of them. I still remember one of them. I remember her name. I know her very well. The other one I didn't know very well. They confessed that. Somebody told them, "Go and meet him. When he finishes explaining, you will know it." Let me close with this story. I've told several times. I can't tell it enough. When I came to Enugu, there's a particular class of students I met. They were taking exams when I came. The first test they did under when I was a lecturer, they sent, because they were received students, they sent a delegation to go and meet me. That, "Oga, we can't pass that thing if you set the exam. Because the things you're asking, we don't know it." Well, I didn't teach their class, all right? They were receiving. Let me just summarize. Some of them passed that exam. Some failed, meaning they were not going to join the class that I taught full. You understand the point? So I remember two young ladies came one day to my office. They came to ask for my help in preparing them for the next exam. I said they should go and call more people, all right? So eventually, they gathered a number of people, and I used to give them tutorials once a week in my office. Of course, trust, the class kept on getting larger until the day before the exam, when the class would become very large. They came to look for an area of concentration, like they say. And this one guy who doesn't give it. Anyway, the exam ended. One of those first 2 ladies that came to my office, Anuri, that's her name, she did so well that even I, who coached them, all right, I was shocked. That is, I began to look at my secretary with suspicion that, "You should say this, this like never pilfer some of my questions to dash this girl." But what convinced me that was not true, well, a number of things. One of them is the fact that her friend, I said there were 2 of them, they're very good friends. And I knew anything she had, the other one would get. So that one didn't do as well. So that gave me some confidence. And later on, when reports from those people that I coached came from the clinics, anytime they are in the clinic, they seem to be sharper than everybody else around them. You don't understand? I knew that, okay, they really learned the stuff. Now, this particular girl in question, after that, she traveled to the UK for electives. And she came back after the electives, came to my office to come and say, "Good afternoon, sir. I traveled, I'm back. And now, welcome." She's not giving me gist of what happened while she was in the UK. Now, there was a thing I told them when they first came to my office.
I said, don't worry, all of you that I'm going to give tutorials, you'll be happy you failed, because this is your opportunity to learn pathology. Because they really didn't have a lecturer in that area before I came. So, she went for the electives, she came back. And then, that day she came to see me, and was not telling me what happened. She went to one hospital in London, and said, ah, look, thank God that I failed that exam. Thank God for the opportunity to meet you. He said, because it was those things that you taught that gave me the ability to relate with the practice. Said, were it not for those tutorials, I would have just been looking like an idiot. Say, I just came to say thank you very much. I said, ah, that place is so beautiful. In fact, sir, I think you should try and just relocate and go there. He said, brilliant people like you, you are just wasting away here. That place is a beautiful country. If you go there, your full potential will manifest. She was talking and talking and talking and talking. When she finished, I said, so when I have gone, the next set of ignoramuses like you that appear, who will teach them? I remember that word ignoramus was what I used. I said, next set of ignoramuses like you, when they appear, who will teach them? He said, it's true, Sha. It's true. And, you know, I tell a little people that obviously it is true. What is wrong with you? For information, I'm from Ondo State. I did my postgraduate in Lagos, and now I'm in Enugu. Do I look like I'm planning to cross the ocean? If I wanted to cross the ocean, which one is closer, Enugu or Lagos? No, it's true. If my agenda was for disappearing, does it make sense? He says, Enugu, I'm now coming to. If God wanted to do it, then fine. But as a human plotting, it's a very bad graph I'm drawing like that. I mean, from Uniben to House Job, Naduekiti to youth service in Taraba State, down to Lagos, and then you now plotted it back towards Taraba State, you know. Enugu is very close to Middle Belt. So I said, look, forget it. But this is the point. I have affected lives with my gift. For me, teaching, I discovered that I knew how to do it. That people testified again and again that once you taught that thing, suddenly light came upon my soul. And if I have to start giving you testimonies, we won't leave here, of divine manifestations while I preach. While I teach. No, I don't mean preach now. While I teach, just teach ordinary pathology. Ordinary pathology. Just teaching it at divine manifestations. I don't mean that somebody just got healed. That's not what I mean. I mean enlightenment. Things that I did not know until somebody asked the question. Light will just drop on my soul. I give them understanding and you see their face lighten up. What am I teaching all of these things? You also have a part of life where your grace is very smoothly flowing. The problem most people have had is that area is not always sweet. Remember the story I told? When Okonkwo's father, things fall apart. He could play the flute, but he couldn't cultivate yam in their society. You know, right across the world, people like Beethoven and Mozart were being celebrated. Do you get my point? When you hear of Handel, you hear of Beethoven, Mozart, people like that. Okonkwo's father had a similar gift, but poor Okonkwo was from Umuofia, where they rather count yam than listen to music. Let me give you advice. Don't worry about what people want to count yam. God gives you a commandment. He says, magnify your office. He says, say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry that you have received of the hand of the Lord, that you fulfill it. Whether men love it or not, their problem. I kill you if you don't fulfill it. I make your life short if you don't fulfill it. I remove prosperity and satisfaction from you if you don't fulfill it. You are pursuing what everybody else is pursuing. As a child of God, don't ever forget. Go and listen to that message again. What really is important to you? Where do you derive your satisfaction from? Please, my time is up. We'll continue this discussion next time. I hope you've learned something today. If you have, shout a very loud amen. Amen. All right, let's just give the Lord thanks. Let's just worship him. Akuna, please.